This morning, if you take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 this morning, and this is week number 2 of a new series that we're going through in the life of Christ entitled Follow Me. And Jesus told many to follow Him, told His disciples to follow Him. And this morning, as Christians, our desire needs to be to follow Him. And this morning, we're going to look at four men, the lives of four men this morning that followed Jesus, and a message entitled, The First Followers. In John chapter 1, we see the calling of four people to the service of the Lord, and we see one that sought Him, see one that was called by Him, and two that were brought by others to Christ. And so that's important for us to see that this morning. And we can learn much from these men. There are many like them today. Maybe you'll find yourself written on the pages of Scripture today. And maybe you read the account of one of these men, whether you're a man or a woman or a young person, that person resonates with you. And we can learn very important lessons from them this morning. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to read John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 35. And we read down through verse number 41. We're going to be looking at more verses than that, but we'll just read down to verse number 41. You follow along as I read this morning. And God's Word says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you to learn of thy Son, Jesus, the Christ. We learn of these four men who are now with you in glory. We pray, dear Lord, that we would learn lessons from how they followed the Savior. We pray this morning, dear Lord, that we would be faithful in following your word and following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd guide and direct us, that you would enlighten us. And Lord, as we learned in Sunday school, that if there's any reproof that needs to be taken, that we would take it. Any correction that needs to be made, that we would make it. Oh, Lord, that we'd be instructed in righteousness this morning. We pray for those who are seeking for a Savior, seeking for the truth. I pray that they would find it today. We pray, dear Lord, for those watching the streaming today, that if any are not saved, that they come to know you as a result of your word and this message this morning. We pray, dear Lord, that it would be a blessing and that you, dear Lord, would hide me behind the cross, and that I would not speak my words, but your words only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The first followers. And in John chapter 1, we see this is after this time, the time period of this. And I know there are some debates on the timeline of everything. If you look at all four Gospels, they are synoptic, meaning that they give details about different events in different time periods. So right here is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is after he was baptized and after he had come back from the wilderness to Galilee. So now, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, who was preaching and teaching, his whole ministry was to prepare Israel for the coming of Christ. Now, Jesus was here, and now we're going to look at first this morning, the first person mentioned in this passage, that of Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And we see that Andrew is Jesus' first disciple, as far as we can tell. We know many of them were called around the same time period, within a matter of days, but Andrew is the first one. All four of these men started following Jesus around the same time, but Andrew was the first. He was a man seeking for the truth. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, as we remember, we read Matthew and Luke, that he was the cousin, earthly speaking, of Jesus Christ, in that he was born shortly before Jesus Christ, And his purpose was simply to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. And he preached about the kingdom of God. He baptized those that would wish to be identified with the coming Messiah, the baptism of repentance. And he preached about their sin. And he told them about their way of salvation, that it needed to be in Jesus Christ and not in their works. And the Pharisees were not fans of John the Baptist. Neither was Herod, the puppet king at that time, because he preached about the sins that they were committing. But this morning, as we see Andrew, he was a disciple of John the Baptist, and we see in verse number 36, and looking upon Jesus, this is John the Baptist, as he walked, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now this statement, "Behold the Lamb of God," is an important statement, because the Lamb that the Jews would refer to in the sacrifices was the Lamb for the sin offering, for the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus Christ had come as the Lamb of God to be the sacrifice for all sinful men, to fulfill and to satisfy the sin debt of all the world. And Jesus was the only perfect sacrifice. So when John the Baptist said that, Jews knew what he was saying. Andrew knew what he was saying, that this was the Messiah. And so he began to follow him. And not only Andrew, but one other with him. Verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said to him, Rabbi," which being interpreted master, "where dwellest thou?" They wanted to spend time with him. They wanted to learn about him. "He saith unto them, Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Andrew realized something, that John was pointing out the Messiah. Now many had gone to hear John preach and teach and hear him preach and teach, and they thought he was the Messiah. And he very clearly looked back in the early part of chapter 1 of John, that he said, "I am not the Christ, but he comes after me, and whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloosen." I am not the Messiah. Some have thought that he was Elijah that had come back, or was another prophet. He was a prophet of God, but he was the forerunner of Christ. And John was always very clear that the Messiah was coming. Andrew knew that he needed to seek out Jesus. Now, there was another disciple of John with him, and they both started following Jesus. They desired to know more about the Messiah. They wanted to see if what John said was true. And they ended up staying with Jesus where he lived in Nazareth at that time. He desired to know more about Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9. He was a seeking person. And there are many today that are seeking for truth. They seek for God. They seek for salvation. They seek for peace. In Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9, Jesus makes it very clear that if we're seeking, we'll find. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And Andrew was seeking for Jesus Christ. He was seeking for salvation. And this was the purpose of John's ministry, that those that followed him, he would point them to Jesus Christ. Andrew was following John. Was a disciple means a follower. He listened to his preaching, listened to his teaching. And John said, "This is the one whom I've been preaching about. This is the one whom I've been called of God to prepare the way. There he is." And they went and followed him. Now, did John stop them? "So wait a minute, you need to follow me. Wait a minute. No, you're supposed to follow me." No, John understood. His purpose was not to have men follow him, but that he might point men to follow Jesus Christ. And they followed after Jesus. And they went and abode with him. Now, we don't have recorded what happened there, what they discussed. But I know Jesus, every time he met with men, whenever he went to the synagogue, whenever he was meeting with people or walking with disciples, he was constantly teaching them and showing them the Scriptures and teaching as one has authority, the Bible says. And because he did have all authority, because he was God. And so they spoke with him and they met with him. And they came out of that meeting, one being convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. And we see that. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. After that meeting, verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah. We found him. He is here. The Messiah has finally come. The one whom Israel has been waiting for hundreds of years and thousands of years. He is here. We have found him. But if you notice something, two went to meet with him. Only one is mentioned after this. We don't know what happened to the other disciple. The other disciple of John, he went and met with Jesus, and we never see his name mentioned again. But Andrew was convinced, and I suppose, I don't know for sure, that the other was not convinced. We don't know what Jesus spoke of, but Andrew knew that Jesus was the Messiah. You know why? He had been listening to the teaching of God through the preacher John. And Jesus confirmed what John had preached. And Andrew said, This is the Savior. And you know what he did? He went and told somebody else about it. Amen? Now I'll ask you this. Are you one who is seeking today? Look no further. You have found Jesus the Messiah, the very Son of God, revealed in His Word, who has come to take away the sins of the world, the one who is the Savior of the world. And He wants to save you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you've been seeking for that. Maybe you're watching the stream this morning or listening to this recording and you are seeking for what true salvation is. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. For He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, the only plan of salvation. But then it brings us to the second man, Peter. Simon called here, and Jesus called him Peter, or Cephas. Andrew was so excited about finding the Messiah. I don't know, when you got saved, I think you were excited, amen? When you found Jesus Christ and you call upon Him for salvation, you were excited about it. Andrew was excited about it. And then we can kind of see there's a difference in these two brothers here. That Andrew appears to be more of the religious one. That he was looking for truth. He was seeking for truth. Peter was a fisherman. Andrew was as well. But Peter was fishing. And we see a little later on in chapter number 2, we see that even though he had been brought to Jesus, he didn't leave his nets till later on. And he was concerned with his business. Now, remember, the Jews had been waiting for the Messiah. And so when Andrew comes to Peter and says, We have found the Messiah. I've found Him. What did Peter think? We don't know. Now, up until this time, right before, it's just like the devil to bring false Christs. There have been others only recently, before the time of Christ, that had recently claimed to be the Messiah, to overthrow Rome, to be the Savior of the world. There have been several that had, and we see that written, that the Pharisees were very concerned about the ministry of Jesus, and we see that they revealed that this was of God, who can stand against it? We see that in Acts as well, that there have been others that had claimed to be the Messiah. And so maybe Peter was thinking, oh no, another one is claiming to be the Messiah. But you know what? Andrew was convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt he had found the Messiah, and he was right. His first reaction was not to sit at the feet of Jesus to learn all he could. Well, that's a good thing. His first reaction was not to find answers to all his questions. His first reaction was to go and tell his brother Simon, I found him. You need to come meet him. You need to come meet the person I have met. Go learn of him to hear the words of life that he speaks. And verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And he's like, come on, Simon, where do you got to go meet Jesus? I found him. I found him. You can just hear the excitement of his words. I have found the Messiah. I have found him. And he brought him to Christ. And you know what? I think it's the responsibility of every Christian to bring people to Christ. Do you know him today? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You have found the Messiah. Who have you brought to him? Who have you brought to him? There's a statistic out there. They did some research. Now, to prove this, I'm going to ask for a poll this morning. Okay, so you're going to be my polling group this morning. Now, I would like you to raise your hand for if you fit in the following category. How many of you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by someone bringing you to church, whether that be a friend or your parents brought you to church, and that you were saved as a result of someone bringing you to church? Raise your hand. That's how you got saved, by someone bringing you to church. All right. You weren't saved by coming to church, Micah? All right, most of us were. About three-quarters of us in here. Put your hands down. Now, how many of you were saved as a result of someone knocking on your door and leading you to the Lord? Anybody like that? All right? All right, who got saved by reading a gospel tract? You came to the Lord by reading a gospel tract. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand up. By reading a gospel tract. Okay, you got a couple? Okay, very good. And that about breaks down here, that 87% of people who are saved are saved because someone brought them to church. 6% are saved on door-to-door visitation. Not saying it doesn't work. It does work. And another 6% are saved by gospel tracts. But 87% of people are saved as a result of someone bringing them to church to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have friend days. That's why we tell people for revival mission, bring someone to church, bring a friend. And it doesn't matter. And you know what? It's interesting how when people get saved, they're really excited about it. They start bringing people to church. And they start getting saved. A lot of the people in the last about 8-9 months that have gotten saved and baptized, all of them have been a result of someone bringing them to church. Amen. You know what? And that's the biblical model. Andrew said, if you know something that's so important and so precious to you, you're going to go to the people you love the most and tell them about it. Amen? At least we should. And Simon came to Jesus Christ. Peter was a fisherman. He was busy working, and Andrew comes and tells him about something incredible. And it appears, as we read through this chapter, it took a little longer for Peter to be convinced that he was the Messiah. Andrew brought him to Jesus, and the first thing that Jesus says to him, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas. How did he know that? Jesus was the Son of God. And Cephas, being interpreted by interpretation of stone, that God was telling him, though he didn't know it yet, that Jesus was telling him what Peter would do in the future, that he would be one of the pillars of the church, that he would be a great preacher and powerful preacher for the Lord. And you know what? All everybody else saw was Simon, a fisherman. And fishermen weren't known to be the most civil of people. They were not known for being the most refined people or the most educated people. But Jesus knew what he could do with his life. You know, don't look at someone and say, well, God can never use them. Don't ever say that. God uses ordinary people in miraculous ways. And God used Simon that way. But Andrew brought him. What if Andrew had said, well, I found the Messiah and I don't think I need to tell my brother about it? Could God have brought Simon and gone and found him? Yes, he could have, but he wanted Andrew to do it. And Andrew brought him. This is disciple number two. Imagine being told that very first moment you meet someone that your name will be changed to a stone. I mean, what do you think Peter was thinking? I don't know. Just think about that. Peter didn't know Jesus, and maybe had heard of him, but at this time Jesus was unknown. This was before, right at the beginning of his ministry. His first miracle that he performed was at Capernaum, which is in the next chapter. Now, he hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't even started preaching in the synagogue yet. He was unknown. Peter did not start following Jesus full-time until another couple chapters later. But Peter did begin to listen to the truth that Jesus spoke. What if Andrew had not brought him? What if Peter had decided not to go? There were many others at this time that claimed to be the Messiah, yet what made Jesus different was the truth that he spoke. Look at verse number 4 of John 1, back a page. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's something different about this man. He wasn't promoting himself. He was promoting the truth of God. The truth that he spoke, it hit the heart. You know, some people ask us, well, what's different about your religion versus Hinduism or Buddhism or anything? Very simple answer. It's the truth. Well, how do we know it's the truth? When you hear the Word of God and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know in your heart it's the truth. Because God put that there in you, in every person. Read Romans 1. It's important to understand that. That's how we know it is the truth. And that brings us to our third disciple here. Look at verse number 43 of John chapter 1. See Philip. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip is a wonderful preacher of the gospel. We see him in the book of Acts, mentioned many times. Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch, he was a disciple. He was also a deacon. We do know that he was married. We know in Acts 21 that he had four daughters. So we see that of him. We know more about what God had Philip do after Jesus ascended to heaven than before. We do not know his occupation, but we do know that he lived in the same city as Andrew and Peter. We see that in verse number 44. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. It's possibly knew Andrew and Peter. We don't know. Jesus was unknown at this time. Philip was ready to follow God because he knew that Jesus spoke with the authority of God. And you'll notice something about Philip, that all through his time, whatever Jesus told him to do, he did it. We see with the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, go to the desert. Didn't tell him why. He was having a revival in Samaria as a preacher, and he just went. And Jesus just said two words, follow me. Didn't introduce himself. Didn't say who he was or why he should follow him. Just said, follow me. And he did. He followed Jesus Christ. Philip was greatly used by God later because of this one simple trait. He simply got up and followed Jesus. He didn't think twice. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say, well, why? He just followed him. Amen. I think as Christians, we save a whole lot of time in saying, God, why should I do this? And just do it. Amen. We save a lot of time by reading the Word of God. And God says, do this. And I say, well, why do I need to do it? Just do it. Why do I need to follow Jesus? Because he said it too. And that should settle it. If that doesn't settle it for us, we have a pride problem. We have a lack of submission to the Lord. Just do what he says, because he knows best. But you know what? There's another pattern we see. We see Andrew told Peter, and Philip told Nathaniel. You know what he did? He started following. And you know what? Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And verse 45, and Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so who did Moses and the prophets speak of? The Messiah. So we found him. So it's the third person now. Nathanael said unto him, now Nathanael was skeptical. He was the skeptic. We always refer to doubting Thomas, but Nathanael was a skeptic. Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was not known for its refinement. Nazareth was not known for many things. It was known as a pretty rough place. You know what Philip said? Philip didn't get angry and said, well, how dare you say like that? How dare you do that? You know, he said, come and see. He didn't get all mad and say, well, fine. If you feel that way about it, we don't need you anyway. He said, come and see. And you know what? When we tell someone, well, why should I come to this church? Why should I come and listen to the Word of God? Tell them, well, why don't you come and see for yourself? That's the best thing we can do for people, is let them see and hear for themselves the truth. And Nathanael came. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israel indeed in whom is no guile. So what's the importance of the statement? The importance of the statement is that Jesus knew his heart. Man can't see a heart, but God can. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? I don't know you. When did I meet you? I've never met you before. Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, that doesn't mean that he was looking over the hill and he saw him, but that God in his omniscience knew he was there. And Nathanael knew. No one else was there. Nathanael knew that only God could know that. Only God could know where he was and what he was doing. Only God could see his heart. Only God could see him in his all-knowing omniscience. And what is Nathanael saying? Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael, another disciple, was convinced by Jesus' exercise of divinity. And there are doubters today. They doubt the gospel. They doubt that Jesus truly is the Son of God, the Christ. However, when they take the Word of God, when you take the Word of God and reveal to them what lies in their heart, they will see and believe on the Son of God. Jesus sees and knows all. He knows of every thought or every sin against Him. There are no secrets with the Lord. We think we can hide things from God. We can hide nothing from God. We can't hide our thoughts. We can't hide what's in our heart. We can't hide our actions, no matter if we did them in secret or not. They said, well, does God know when I stole that candy bar from my brother when I was 10? Yes. No one ever found out about it, but God knows about it. God knows about every dirty thought we ever thought. He knows everything about us. And He knows that He can make you clean. That He can take your sin away. That He can save you and make you new again. Praise God. He can do that. And Nathanael was convinced, thou art the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one. So this morning we have four followers. Andrew, who was seeking for the truth, and he found it. Peter, who was brought to Jesus Christ and learned and accepted Christ as his Savior. And Jesus also is here to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And he sought and he found Philip. Knew exactly where he was, what he was doing, and said, follow me. And Philip did. And Philip knew he had found the Messiah after he had heard him and heard his teaching and his preaching. And he went and he found Nathanael. Said, we found him, the Messiah. Have you found Jesus Christ? If you are seeking for him, you found him this morning. You've heard of him. You've heard how he has died. He died on Calvary's tree. As we go through the life of Christ, we will get to that place where he died on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. Your sin, my sin, our sin nailed him there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave Jesus Christ, his Son, to die for us as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And he can take away your sin this morning. He can take away the sin of someone sitting in this auditorium. He can take away the sin of someone watching the stream this morning. He can take away the sin of anyone, at any place, at any time. But will you come to him? Is really Jesus the way he said he was? Is it really the truth that Jesus can save me? He said he is the truth. Can he really give me eternal life? Jesus said, oh yes, I can give you eternal life. Living water. You'll never thirst again. I am the bread of life. Which follower are you? Are you a seeker? Are you the skeptic? Or are you the obedient one? Or are you the one that comes reluctantly but eventually come on board? A question, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior this morning? Do you know Him? I've heard about Him. I didn't ask you that. Do you know Him? Have you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? One-time decision, realizing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we've all sinned and that there's no way we can repay that debt of sin that we owe God, no way we can do right, no way we can be baptized and have it cleansed away, no way that we can take communion and be saved. There's no way to be saved except through Jesus Christ and accepting what He did for you by faith in Christ alone. Faith and trust, not trusting Him in your baptism, not trusting Him. It's Him plus nothing else. 100% faith in Christ. If you've never done that, you can do that today. I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. To call upon Him to save you from your sin. We just follow what the Bible says. It's not what Tabernacle Baptist Church says, it's what Jesus says of Himself. That's how we're saved. So, well, I'm saved, Pastor. I know that I know Jesus Christ. And he asked, do you follow Him? He calls to all Christians, just like He did to Philip, follow Me. Follow Me. Well, where? Well, as we go through the series, we're going to see where the disciples followed Him. Followed Him to different places. Followed Him to Capernaum. Followed Him to Jerusalem. All throughout Galilee. Across the Sea of Galilee, through storms, in the synagogues, followed Him. And then after He ascended to heaven, they kept following Him. And He led them to the uttermost parts of the world. And we'll look at that as we go through. But this morning, where does He want you to go to follow Him? Follow what He says right here in His Word. Because we must remember something, that the disciples had the words of Jesus, and they had the Old Testament. That's all they had. They did not have all of the New Testament. We have been given so much to have all of these teachings and all of this truth. What do we do with it? Do we follow it? So this morning, which follower are you? Are you seeking for God? Are you seeking for the direction that God would have you to take? Or are you the one that's going to be got to be dragged along? Are you the one that's going to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow You. Wherever You say, whatever You want, I'll do. Or will you be the skeptic and say, well, I don't know. Show me a sign, Lord, then I'll follow You. So this morning, which one are you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for today. I thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would bless this invitation time. And I pray if any here this morning, they don't know You, dear Lord. They know about You, but they have never trusted in You for salvation. They've heard about You all their life, but they've never trusted in You for salvation. I pray, dear Lord, that You would bless and direct this morning and that You would direct this invitation time. We pray that You would lead us, Lord. Speak to our hearts that we be the right kind of followers of Yourself today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.